If we go back to basics, which is always a good idea, especially as we're getting closer to the end of Hanukkah, we take a look at the brisa of my Hanukkah. And this is on Daf Chaf Aleph Amud Beis. And in the brisa, after giving a little bit of the background as to the fact that the Yevonim had contaminated all the Shmonim in the Heichal, and then they found one Pach HaShemen after the Melchama was won, and they knew it was Tahar, they didn't have enough Shemen to last for more than one day, and there was a miracle that lasted for 8 days. Now, in the text that we have in our Gemara, the next words in the Braisa, after describing the miracle, are Kavum V'asum Yomim Tovim Bahalel Vahoda. In other words, there is no mention of the mitzvah Hadlakas Neros. Now, I'm not sure if this is the only girsa in the Braisa. There may be another girsa in the Braisa. I don't know how to get access to it, but it does seem that the Mefarshim, as we'll see as we go along, before the Kavum V'Asum Yomim Tovim, they had some indication of the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. Now, if there is such a girsa, I don't know, but it makes sense that at this point the Braisa should have mentioned the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, because he just finished telling me about what a great miracle it was that they were able to find one candle. I mean, one Pach Shemen, and then it lasted for 8 days. So I simply don't know how to go about finding such a text. I don't know if you have... John, do you have any footnote there that might indicate that there's another line in the Braisa here that's, so to speak, missing?
There's no footnote at all.
No, there's no footnote on this. So I'm not sure what to make out of it. And as we go through the Makoros, we're going to see that there was an assumption on the part of the Mefarshim that somewhere, you know, it's almost like you put a carrot here. There's some missing words in the Braisa that before Kavum V'Asum, the Braisa indicated the mitzvah of Hadlakas Ner Chanukah. Now, it could possibly be, and please make a mental note of this, I won't be able to evaluate this until much later on, like an hour from now maybe, that there may be a braisa in what's called Megillas Tainus. Have you ever heard of Megillas Tainus? Megillas Tainus is a compilation back from the time of the Tannaim of days which were commemorated as holidays because of the miracle. So it could be that there in Megillas Tainus they have this mitzvah up front of Ner Chanukah. Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. I don't see it here in our Braisa. Although again, as I said before, I'd be very comfortable if there was a line here in the Braisa that indicated the mitzvah Hadlokas Neros. Because if you've just presented the great miracle of the Nes, of the Pach HaShemen that lasted for 8 days, I would anticipate that there should have been a takana mentioned in the Braisa of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. Now, having said that, let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi says that what is the meaning of asa'um yomim tovim behalel vehodoya? Rashi says that lo sha'asurim b'malacha, they're not full-fledged yomim tovim, as we'd say, you know, with a kedusha yom and an isur malacha. Lo nikbu el likros halel v'lomar al anisim vodah. Now it comes out that according to Rashi, there's absolutely no mention here of Hadlakas Neros. Unless again there was another girsa in the Braisa, which I don't know about. And when they establish the Chacham these days as Yom Tovim, Rashi says that expresses itself in Kriyas HaHalel and Al Nisim Bo Do. That's the nature of the day, and that was the Takon of Ner Chanukah. The Rambam has a slightly different presentation. The Rambam writes in Perek Gimel Milchas Chanukah, Halacha Gimel, after presenting the entire story of the Ness of the Pachas Shemen, he writes in Pnei Zeis Kinu Chacham Shavos Adar Shiyushmonas Yomim HaElu, that these 8 days, beginning with the night of the 25th of Kislev, Yemei Simcha V'Halel, the days of Simcha and Halel. We don't have the word Simcha in our Braisa. The Rama may have had a different Braisa, but he has Simcha. He has Halel, which we have. What about the word Hodah? Does he have the word Hodah? So the Rama writes the following, that Asa'u, the Rama says that Hiskiu Chachom Shabbos Sador, etc., etc., that these days should be Yimei Simcha V'Halel U'Madlika B'Hem Neros Bo'erev. Now, the language of the Rambam is very strange when he says U'Madlikim B'Hem HaNeros. You know, it sounds like the Rambam is telling us a matter of fact that they... But if I overlook that problem for a moment, just to get the general picture, it's possible that what the Rambam means by U'madlikim hem neros, meaning he means to say that these days were established as days on which we have to light neros. Meaning that the chiyuv of these days is threefold. Number one, it's simcha. Number two, it's halel. And number three, it's hadlokas neros. Now again, the Rambam had Simcha here, which we don't have. We don't know about Simcha. But we do know about Halil and Odah. Rashi says that Odah means Al-Anisim, what we add to our tefillos. The Rambam doesn't have that, but what he does have is Hadlokas Neros. So it could be that the Rambam understands that the Chiyuv Hodah expresses itself as an essential part of these days in Hadlokas Neros. And this is a little bit different than what we usually assume. You know, we usually assume that maybe Hadlokas Neros is a kind of Halel, but maybe the Rambam is separating it as Hodah. And the question is, what's the difference between Halel and Hodah? So let's put the Rambam on the side for a moment. Now I want to show you photocopied for you an article, an essay in a sefer called Gvuras Yitzchak. This is from Rabbi Yitzchak Sorotskin. And you should have 2 pages, which is 4 sides. Now in the first paragraph, he quotes the Braisa. And then he quotes Rashi on the Braisa. Now then he quotes about 8 lines down in the first paragraph, Piskei Riaz. Now the Piskei Riaz is from a family of late Rishonim, probably about 6 centuries ago. And they are related to the same family as the Shilte Giborim. I don't know if you ever heard of the Shilte Giborim. Now, Vizela Shono, listen to the language of the Riatz. Ve'asa'um shmonas yomim, ve'gomrim bohemes ahalil, umodim alanisim, or alanes, I should say, ve'hadlokas haneros. Now, when he says umodim, that seems to parallel in our Braisa Hodah. When the Braisa says Halel, you may Halel, he says Gomri Bahemis Ahalel. And the reason for that emphasis is because we have such a thing called half a Halel. But a half a challah is only appropriate if the day itself does not generate halel, it's just a minhag, like for example Rosh Chodesh. But gomer es halel, that's appropriate for Chanukah. So that's number one halel. Then in the Braisa we saw it says hodah, that these are days of hodah. And on that he says umodim al anes behadlokas haneros. What does that sound like? Behadlokas haneros. Do you want to take any of these seats? It's all yours. You know, I can see at least three possibilities here. I'm just joking around.
Thank you.
So Rabosai, do you hear this nuance? We're on the bottom right column. I'll show you in a second where we're up to. But this is a whole new approach to Hanukkah. He's saying that. Whereas Rashi says Hodah, that these are days of Thanksgiving, means Hodah Bala Nisu, he's saying that Hodah is Madlikim Bahem Haneros, that Adlokas Haneros is itself a fulfillment of Hodah. And then he adds on almost like a tag along, you know, a tag on, or an add on, he says then, Umazkirin also Bitfila, that we should mention Hanukkah not Tfila. That also is part of Hodah. But what's first on his list in Hodah is Hadlokas Haneros. Now this is a very comforting addition to our Braisa, because our Braisa, the famous Braisa My Hanukkah, seems to omit, again, unless there's another text in the Braisa which we don't know about, the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Hanukkah. According to the Riaz, the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah is inherent in the word Hodah. Rashi identifies Hodah as Al Anisim, but the Riaz is identifying Hodah as Hadlokas Neros. And now maybe we could apply that to the Rambam. That's what he wants to do in the next paragraph. So now we're on the bottom left, Vehine a Rambam. And the Rambam's language is that these are days of Simcha, number one, number two, Hallel, and number three, Madlikim Bahem Haneros. So the Rambam omits Hodah. He adds Simcha, which we don't have in the Braisa. But instead of Hodah, the Rambam seems to have Hadlokas Neros. Notwithstanding the fact that Umadlikim sounds like a description of what goes on, that they used to light near Hanukkah. But if we read it as Umadlikim, again, the language is Umadlikim Bahem Neros, correct? Let's see the Rambam inside. Umadlikim Bahem Neros. So maybe, how do you read the word Umadlikim? Does it mean, and they lit, or they light, or does it mean they're obligated to light?
So on the same level as Vahala. Mashmah is Vahala, Umadlikim.
Yeah, but the thing is like this, Dr. Joel, on the one hand, the word Hallel is referring to the day itself, right? The Rambam says, what's the Rambam's language? Hiskinu Chachom Shavos Adar, that these days, beginning with the 25th of Kislev, should be Yemei. Right. Look at the word Yemei Simcha Hallel. And shall I also say Umadlikim Bahem Haneros means...
Ask for a comma question.
There's no comma. I mean, if you want to put a comma in, you can read it in that way, but the mashmah of the...
Now, I'll tell you what the grammatical problem that I have here is, if the Rambam's Madlikim Bahem Haneros is like number three on the list,
yeah,
then he should have used a different word. He should have said, Yemei Simcha Vehalel Vehadlokas Neros. Because if you're describing the day, then you don't turn it into a verb, you need a noun. So Simcha is a noun, Hallel is a noun, and then Hadlokas Neros would be a noun. But instead of talking about Hadlokas, then he says Umadlikim. The vav of Umadlikim sounds like he's starting a new sentence. You know, that these are days of Simcha and Hallel. Period. That's the end of the description of the days. And then Umadlikim Bahem Haneros. You know, almost like as I said before, an afterthought of Umadlikim Bahem Haneros. You know, as if the Rambam is describing a reality, so to speak, that people, maybe it was a spontaneous custom. Remember, we once mentioned that in the past.
Maybe it's separate than Simcha and Hallel.
And then it would be separate from Simcha Nahalal. So is it umadlik? It means, and you're required to be madlik, and that becomes like a third piece of the puzzle, almost a third element in the yom itself. Or is the Rambam just telling me something else about Hadlakas Neiros? I don't know what he's telling me exactly. He reads it here, the Gevurah Yitzchak, that this is the third element that defines the nature of the day. It was established as a day of Hadlakas Neiros. And as a result, we now understand what the word Hodah means according to the Rambam. Assuming that the Braisa, when it speaks about Yemei Hallel, that these were established as Yomim Tovim LaHallel, and then LeHodah, and we saw already in the Riyaz that the Riyaz says, how do we fulfill the mitzvah of Hodah to thank Hashem? It's through Hadlakas Neiros. We can push this into the Rambam too, and say that the third element in the equation here of the day is Hadlakas Neiros. And that substitutes for the word Hodah in the Braisa. So if you ask the Rambam, and certainly the Riyaz, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Hodah? Hallel we have, and that's a recitation of Hallel. How do you fulfill the mitzvah of Hodah? And the answer would be through Hadlakas Neiros. That's not Rashi's answer to the same question. When Rashi asks himself the question, well, how do you fulfill the mitzvah of Hodah? His answer was, Ala Nisim and Tefillah. So let's take a look at the Rashi one more time. The Rashi is here on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. And Rashi says clearly, Hodah Lomar Ala Nisim Hodah. Now notice, the Rambam doesn't say anything about Ala Nisim. So if the Rambam had the gears of Hodah in the Braisa, like Rashi did, but he doesn't interpret it as Ala Nisim, so what is Hodah? How do I fulfill that mitzvah of Hodah? And that's the essential nature of the day. The day was established as the day of Hodah. How do I fulfill that? And the answer might be what? Hadlakas Neiros. That Hadlakas Neiros itself is the fulfillment of the mitzvah Hodah. Now, what about Alad Nisim? So he tells you here that if you want to see what the Rambam's view on Alad Nisim is, you have to open up Hilchos Tefillah. Because the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah has a whole list, a very exhaustive list of when we add things to the Tefillah. So for example, in the rest of the year, the balance of the year, we'll recite 13 brachas in the bakashas, and then we have two brachas at the beginning and two at the end, right? Or three at the beginning and three at the end. And then the Rambam says, but on certain days, we have to make additions. So one of these days, if you take a look at the next page, he says about 10 lines down, he says that Yalav Yovar Rosh Chodesh, and on Chol HaMoed, and on a Tainis the Rambam has that we add Anenu, and the Rambam says that on Chanuk and Purim we add Ala Nisim. And again, where is this in the Rambam? In Hilchos Chanukah? No. It's in Hilchos Tefillah. Now, I don't have to tell you, Rav Moshe, the Rambam is very sensitive about where he brings a halacha. If he brings halacha in Hilchos Tefillah, then he's defining the mitzvah of Tefillah. If he brings halacha in Hilchos Chanukah, he's defining the nature of the day of Chanukah and its obligations. So Rashi would say, if Rashi were codifying the halacha of Hodah, which the Rashi identifies as Ala Nisim, where would it be? In Hilchos Tefillah or in Hilchos Chanukah? In Hilchos Chanukah, because that's the nature of the day. The day was established with a twofold nature. Number one, it's the day of Hallel. Number two, it's the day of Hodah. But the Rambam deliberately omits mention of Ala Nisim in Hilchos Chanukah, which implies that it's not a din in Chanukah, rather it's a din in Tefillah. That's why the Rambam codifies in Hilchos Tefillah. And this is all the Rambam consistent, because since the Rambam holds that Hodah in the Braisa means Hadlakas Neiros, so the laws of Hallel and the laws of Hadlakas Neiros are going to be codified by the Rambam here in Hilchos Chanukah, because that defines the nature of the day as established as a day of Hallel and Hodah. The laws of Tefillah, namely that you have to add on this day some mention of the great miracle of that day, that's already Hadlakas Neiros Tefillah. One of the principles of Hilchos Tefillah is Baruch Hashem Yom Yom. We have to praise God in each day. Bechol Yom V'Yom Tein Lo Mein Berachos. You have to give some sort of bracha to Hashem for that day. again, in 9 out of 10 cases, the day is an ordinary day. So we have the standard uniform Nusach HaTfilah. But in certain rare days, because the nature of the miracle that took place on that day, we have to add something to the Tfilah. Or in the case of a Tainus, because the fact that we're in a situation which we're remembering a calamity that took place in the past. So we have to enhance that B'chol Yom V'Yom. But that's Halach and Tfilah. So when, according to the Rambam, when I fulfill Al HaNisim in Tfilah, that's not a fulfillment of Chanukah, that's a fulfillment of Tfilah. If I were to omit Al HaNisim, that would be, a non-fulfillment of my mitzvah of Tfilah. And then you have to deal with the question whether you have to repeat Shmo Nesrei. You don't have to repeat Shmo Nesrei. All the dinim of Tfilah that the Rambam dedicates an entire chapter to. Whereas Rashi would say that Al HaNisim is elevated to the status of the day itself. The day of Chanukah and its fulfillment requires Halal and Odah, which means Odah means Al HaNisim. So it's very fascinating now that according to the Rambam, the Odah, which is essential to the nature of the day, that's Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. And if you have any doubts about whether the Rambam said it or not, at least the Riyaz said it. So we definitely have one Rishon who goes on record. In the Rambam, it's already detective work. You know, is this what he means? Is not what he means? We think he means it. We're not 100% sure. But in the Riyaz, he's very outspoken about this. There's no question. The Riyaz identifies Odah as Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. Because that gives us like the precedent, so to speak, the shoulders, the you know, to say this thing in the Rambam. So just to summarize, he writes at the end of this first paragraph on the second page, L'das HaRamam Asa'um, it's like 5 lines up before the end of the paragraph, Asa'um Yontif Bahodah Koi Al Hadlokas Neros. Okay, it's referring to Hadlokas Neros. Aye, what about Rashi's business about Tefillah? That's already Halacha Hilchos Tefillah. That doesn't have anything to do with Asam Yontif, you know, the Yontif of Chanukah. The Yontif of Chanukah means the days of Simcha Hal and Hadlokas Neros. That's how the Rambam understood Hodah. Okay. Now, in the paragraph that starts Vira'isi, he finds an unbelievable jewel. That you know, they say sometimes in the bottom of the sea there are pearls that you have to discover them. You know, he discovers here a pearl in something called Nimuke Mahari, and he says it's printed in the back of the Rambam. I didn't find Nimuke Mahari here. Do you know where it is? If somebody could help me find it, but otherwise I'm going to just rely on the Gvuras Yitzchak to quote this Nimuke Ma'ari.
Rav Soloveitchik, you said last week.
Yes.
Maybe it was 200 years later,
right,
that they lit the candles with the Pentecost. He's disagreeing with this Rishon, correct?
Let's see. When you say a Rishon, you mean
this?
You mean the Riyaz?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, the Riyaz definitely assumes that Hadlokas Neros is part of the original original establishment of Chanukah, right, as days of Hodah. And this is not the same as Salvation's understanding of the Rambam, because in his understanding of the Rambam, Hadlokas Neros didn't come till 2 centuries later. And that was because of the destruction of the Midrash.
Right.
So he's not working with that at all. Now, I wish I knew where this Nimuke Mahari is, because I'd love to see it in the original. Let me just see. There's something here called Sefer Likutim. Maybe it's here. Let me just see. He gives the impression that it's printed as a separate Sefer, no? I don't know. But I don't want to. If anybody has time to just flip through, maybe you'll find it. He says it's printed in the back of the Rambam. I don't see it right now. Well, let's just rely on his transmission, if we can use that word. Vizel Shono. He says the following. Hode Hishmit HaRambam Rabbeinu, which means the Rambam, Hanemar B'Gemara U'Behodo, Pirush Rashi Lomar Al-Nisim, Nirali De Rabbeinu Mefarish B'Hodo Hainu Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. Now please underline the next word, U'Bircho Seha. Now watch what's going on over here. He's interpreting the Rambam, and he identifies Hodah, which is the essence of Chanukah, as number one, Adlokas Ner Chanukah, and number two, Birchos Seha. Oh, you found it?
I think so. I didn't read it, but let's see.
Can you find out who he was? I'm just curious. Ah. But this is not, this doesn't seem to be the right quote. No. Okay, we'll figure it out somehow. Oh, wait, there's another quote here. Nimukei Ma'ari, the next one. There he says the following. Nirali, so I'm reading it from this text in the Rambam. De Rabbeinu Mefaresh Bahoda Hainu Adlokas Nechanuku U Bircho Seha.
That's what you have right here.
Yeah, I'm reading it from here and you're reading it from there. It's word for word, am I right? Shazeu Kra Hoda Alanes. Again, I don't know. Zekara Hoda, that's how I guess we read it.
It's a Nikra Hoda.
Nikra, okay, so here there's a nun that's missing here, you know. We should really add a nun here. It's a missing. And then he writes the Hoda Hakavana Pirsum. So we're identifying Adlokas Ner Chanukah as Hoda, and the word Hoda means a kind of a public thanksgiving to Hashem for the miracle. Hoda Anes. And that's through the Hadlokas Ner Chanukah U'Bircho Seha, correct? U'Bircho Seha. You know what? I think. Oh, yeah? We want to read it out loud?
No, it's all in Hebrew. I'll let you.
Oh. Okay, just one second. You know what? Just one second. Before you read that, I just want to see something over here. If I can find it here.
Grodno?
Uh-huh. So you're talking about like almost a contemporary probably, from 100 years ago, something like that. Am I right?
Maybe 1813.
He says?
I don't think that's when the book was printed.
Well, if the book was printed in 1813, then he must date back before that. Mukei Mari. So what do I do? Do I press on that? I don't want to disturb your... Like, do I go into that to get more details?
I don't know.
Let's see.
I don't know. Maybe we left the page already.
Okay. Now, Rabosai, what's the significance of this extra word, U'Bircho Seha? Again, we're defining the very nature and the essence of the day of Chanukah in terms of Hodah, and we're saying that Hodah equals Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, U'Bircho Seha.
It's not just the Birchos of Mitzvah, but it is the Mitzvah.
Excellent. That the Brachos are an essential part of the Mitzvah itself. And he says that this could answer a question of the Ha'oras HaRa'em. The Ra'em was, I think his name was Mizrahi, Rav Elio Mizrahi, and he has a beer on the Smag, and he says, Amai Yishmitu Iker HaKavua B'ner U'Ledas Rabbeinu Lufimash Kasavnu Hainu HaNemer B'Milas Hodah. In other words, the Ra'im wants to understand why is it that the nature or the mitzvah of Ner is completely omitted here in this Braisa. which doesn't make any sense, because if you're defining the nature of the day of Chanukah, you should certainly make mention of Ner Chanukah. So the answer is that according to the Rambam, the way this interpretation of the Namuke Mari, the Rambam is telling you that when it says Hodah in the Braisa, Hodah is a reference to what? To Ner Chanukah. He quotes another Rishon, Rabbeinu Simcha, who says that these days are days of Hallel. I thought he was quoting Rabbeinu Simcha for a second. Now comes the Gvuras Yitzchak on the last two lines on the right side. He says, "Vanir milshono." It seems from the Mari that he holds the Lorak Etzem Hadlokas Neros Haviodal in this. Don't isolate just the Hadlokas Neros, and that equals Hodah. Ki im degam birchosel. Even the brachos have you no dal anes. Now I'm not sure which brachos he means. You know, if he means shasa nisim lavol senu, you know, I can live with that. If he means lahadlik ner shel Chanukah, that's a little bit more subtle. You know, a little bit. You know, one could argue that lahadlik ner shel Chanukah doesn't necessarily indicate any thanksgiving for the miracle. But my impression is that he's talking about all the brachos, you know, the whole package of brachos that we recite on Ner Chanukah. They become part of the essential mitzvah of Hodah. V'din bracha l'adlokas ner's ein zeh k'kol. Doc, I forgot your name. I'm so embarrassed. Abby.
Carney.
Abby Carney. Well, what was he? Were you here less than half a year ago, right?
Yeah,
I remember. That's more than half of you, right?
More than half of you.
Yeah, okay. So I'm allowed to forget it after half.
Okay,
thanks. What is your first name?
Yitzchak.
Okay, so we're learning your power here. The verse Yitzchak. Okay. So he's saying now an amazing chiddush. He's saying that the bracha on Ner Chanukah is radically different than the bracha on any other mitzvah. Why? Because now the bracha is an essential part of the takana, the way they enacted the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah as Hodah, and it's going to be a package deal that includes both the bracha and the Hadlokah itself. Da takana hoy. So what was the obligation as it was established? Lahadlik ulevarech. There's a twofold obligation here, Hadlokah and bracha. V'nafkemina. What's the obvious nafkamina if we say that the brach is essential to the
skip the brach?
If you skip the brach, you're in trouble. Nafkamina bazedim lo berech al hadloka yesh lomer de lo yotzi dechovas hadlokas haneros. And this is an exception to the normal rule, the universal rule that governs Birchas HaMitzvah. The af al gav, even though Birchas HaMitzvah ain't a ma'akev HaMitzvah, the bracha is not critical to the mitzvah, and you can fulfill your mitzvah even without the bracha. Shiny Birchas Hadlokas HaNeros, the case of Hadlokas Neros of Chanukah is different, and here the bracha is Guf HaTakonu Mi'akev HaKiyum HaMitzvah. So please underline these words, because they're pretty revolutionary, you know, to say that if you leave out the bracha, you're not yotzei.
It's obvious that he's talking about the din of halacha. I mean, the bracha of halacha, not the bracha of halacha.
Well, why do you think so, Abby? Why do you think so?
Because he's saying shelo berech al halacha.
Okay, maybe. And maybe also to support your reading of the text, maybe you could say, since he's contrasting this bracha as opposed to the classical Birchas HaMitzvah, he should be talking about Lahadlik.
Right.
But again, you know, I'm always afraid to go too far. It seems like such a revolutionary idea that if you left out Lahadlik, you're not Yotze. Now, I would like to say that if we want to upgrade the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah to Hodah, then there should be some bracha that expresses that Hodah. Shasa Nisim Lavoseinu, that would be a better candidate. But you're absolutely right. I think in the text he seems to be talking about Lahadlik.
I would think maybe the opposite. Once the lighting of the candles is itself the Hodah, then you wouldn't necessarily need a bracha to.
So that's what he's saying. That why is the I think again I'm trying to extrapolate guess what he's saying.
Right.
No, I mean, why would the lighting of the candles per se be a Hodah? So you could say X, Y, Z. You know, you can come up with all sorts of svaras, but the other way of saying it, I'm just thought one alternative would be to say that I make a declaration that what I'm about to embark upon is a thanks for Hashem for the miracle of the Nair. If I don't make that declaration, the action itself doesn't speak loud enough, so to speak. You could be lighting candles for any number of reasons. You know, we light candles on Erev Shabbos. Maybe we light candles on Yom Kippur. You know, every Yom Kippur there's a mitzvah to light candles. You know, a minhag, whatever it is. You know, we may have many occasions where we light candles. So the lighting of the candles as an external mechanical act doesn't necessarily indicate that we're thanking Hashem, which is Odah. So we have to sort of transform that action by introducing it with a flag. You know, what flag are we waving when we say that this hadlok is going to be Odah?
Like
it's the bracha itself. Yeah, and maybe the bracha of Shasa Nisim would be a better candidate for that person. But you're right, I think the text seems to indicate that he's talking about lahadlok. Now he writes the following. This is fascinating. He says that in Shulchan Aruch there's a whole discussion about the following issue. What happens if he didn't light Ner Chanukah on time? What does that mean on time? So the Brice establishes that the latest time for Ner Chanukah is Ad Shetichle Regel Min Hashuk. And that time period has passed already, so it's not a half hour after Tzeis HaKochovim, it's a good couple of hours afterwards. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that although L'chatchila he should have lit within that period of time, and he might want to underline the next few words, Aval im avar zehazman, so that time period passed. You know, very often we say, this is a general rule, that if the time for a mitzvah passes, that's it. You know, pack your bags, it's too late. But here, the Shulchan Aruch says, with regard to Ner Chanukah, despite the fact that Avar Zazman, and he didn't yet light his candles, Madlik V'Holech Kol HaLaila. Now, this is very interesting, because the Gemara itself vacillates back and forth as to whether or not A, the latest time for Ner Chanukah is Ad Shetichle Regel Min Hashuk, or B, you can light even... Now, since the Gemara goes back and forth, these are two Lashonos in the Gemara, the final Maskona should be that's a Safek. And in the case of Safek, we do the following. We say, go ahead and light the candles, because maybe you're obligated, and you haven't fulfilled your obligation. And it's still a possibility to light even after Tichle Regel Min Hashuk, call Alayla. But on the other hand, we're going to tell you, don't mit the bracha. Now the Magen Avraham reads the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch writes, Madlik V'Holich Kol HaLaila. What does that sound like to you? Madlik V'Holich Kol HaLaila.
With a bracha.
He doesn't tell you it's different. You know, if he wanted to yell and scream that you have to leave out the bracha, he shouldn't have said, this is very misleading to tell me Madlik V'Holich Kol HaLaila. Says the Magen Avraham, it's a Sfeika Dedina, and therefore, logically, is Ein Levarech. But Minasasam and Shulchan Aruch, but the fact that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't qualify and say, omit the bracha, Mashmah would seem that according to the Shulchan Aruch, you should make a bracha. So then the question is, what happens with any Safek? In any Safek, what we do is we perform the mitzvah, but we leave out the bracha. Like I'll give you an example. Let's say, I don't remember whether or not we took off Trumas and Maaser. So I'm going to take it off because the Safek L'chumra, but I'm not going to make the bracha because I may have made the bracha on the first round, or for that matter I may have fulfilled my mitzvah on the first round, and now what I'm doing is not a frasha. So in general, when you have to do a mitzvah because of Safek, you're not sure, but maybe you have to do the mitzvah, you're going to implement the Maisa mitzvah, but you're going to leave out the bracha. And now it seems from the Shulchan Aruch that even though we're involved in a Safek here, we don't know whether he can light after that moment of Tichle Rekim Hashuk. Holech umadli kol alayla mashma im bracha. What's going on over here? I can understand Holech umadli kol alayla because he's got to get out of the Safek. And there's a possibility that he could fulfill the mitzvah, but to make a bracha, that undermines the principle of Safek brachas lahakel. Are you with me on this? It's Mavish Gavaldik Akash of the Magen Avraham. And again, the Magen Avraham is basing his question primarily on the reading of the Mechaber, that the Mechaber doesn't qualify that he should leave out the bracha, implying that he will. It's a regular classical adlaka, kol alayla, with a bracha. Now, if it's a classical adlaka with a bracha, what happened to the principle of Safek? Ulam. Do you see the word ulam? Right? However, he says, according to what we've been saying, that the bracha is part of the gufa mitzvah, and you must have the bracha in order to fill the mitzvah, then once we're saying that yechayev in hadlaka misafek, then we have to be able to say that yechayev in the bracha. Because the only way that's possible to fulfill this mitzvah is through the bracha. It reminds me, for example, we have a few mitzvahs, not many, but maybe two or three, let's see if we can come up with a few, where the mitzvah is the bracha itself. Can you think of any cases where the mitzvah itself is the bracha? Hallel has more than just the bracha. You have the bracha and then the reciting of all the kapitlach and tillin.
Right.
But give me a case where the mitzvah itself is identical with the bracha. The bracha is, you know, is the mitzvah itself. Oh, okay, maybe. But I'm talking about a real McCoy mitzvah, you know, first class mitzvah. Birkas HaMazon, right? I ate a meal, and now what's my mitzvah? It's one of the Tariq mitzvahs. I make a bracha. Are you going to say now, if I have doubts whether I made the bracha and whether I fulfilled the mitzvah of Birkas HaMazon, then I'm going to leave out the bracha? If you leave out the bracha, then you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah, because the mitzvah is the bracha. Or Birkas HaTorah.
No, but I think that would be different in the sense that you have to question whether or not you actually had a meal, not whether or not you made the bracha. Because the question of whether you fulfilled.
But let's say I know I had a meal, but I just don't remember if I made, if
it's
I recited.
It's not comparable to not sure, but if lying at a time where you're not sure if it's good enough, because then you're not going to take the mitzvah in the action itself.
Right. But what I'm asking Yitzchok is the following. I don't know if I fulfilled Birkas HaMazon.
Right.
So now I'm obligated to fulfill this mitzvah because of suffering.
Right.
Now go and tell me the following. Fulfill the mitzvah, but leave out the bracha. You can't, right? That's a contradiction in terms, because the mitzvah and the bracha are one and the same.
It's normally the bracha is a drabana, and suffering drabana makulah. Here the bracha is definitely a daraisa.
Here, where? In
Chanukah.
Oh, Birkas HaMazon, it's definitely Doraisa.
That's
right.
Why you have to repeat it. That's why you say it. If it was a Durabanam, you wouldn't.
So, how does he apply this logic to a Bracha Durabanam? And the whole mitzvah is Durabanam.
It's very difficult.
Which logic did
they use? No. My question is only pedagogical. It's not difficult at all. I'm trying to evoke the answer from you, that's all.
Because it is the mitzvah. It's part.
Correct.
It's
if, the mitzvah. If we're saying that you're obligated to do the mitzvah, then we can't say we'll do the mitzvah without the bracha, because you can't do the mitzvah without a bracha. The mitzvah and the bracha are identical. Again, in this case, there's more to the mitzvah than just the bracha. There's obviously the hadlaka. But certainly the bracha, according to this presentation, is essential to the mitzvah. If it's an essential part of the mitzvah, then it would be a contradiction in terms to say out of one side of your mouth, well, you have to do the mitzvah, and on the other side of your mouth, say, leave out the bracha. Because you leave out the bracha, that's not the mitzvah. It means it comes out that there are two categories of birchas hamitzvah. There's one category of birchas hamitzvah where the bracha is extraneous to the mitzvah, meaning it's a mitzvah unto itself to make the bracha. And there's another birchas hamitzvah where the bracha is not extraneous or independent of the mitzvah, but it is the mitzvah. It's literally part of the mitzvah. And the difference between the two is going to be in a case of suffering. If it's extraneous to the mitzvah, then I'm going to apply the principle of suffering brachas lahakil. I don't make a bracha in a suffering. It might be motzi shem Hashem lashav and so forth and so on. But if it's essential to the mitzvah, I can't have the mitzvah without the bracha. So now the bracha takes on a whole different dimension, a whole different definition. It's no longer a separate, independent mitzvah of bracha, but it now is part of the mitzvah of Hodah, we'll call it, of Chanukah, of Ner Chanukah, which is the mitzvah of Hodah. So in such a case, what's going to be the din? That in suffering, I'm going to make the bracha.
It's hard to say, because we still say suffering Durabana Lakula. And even if it's a mitzvah, it's still a mitzvah Durabana.
Right. But in the
even if it's the mitzvah itself, right, you should say you should go Lakula.
Right. But I think the rule is, if I'm not mistaken, that in a suffic mitzvah derabanan, you're obligated to do the mitzvah. Why? I mean, what happened to suffic derabanan?
Because there's no downside.
What do you say?
Because there's no
downside. No downside?
The raisa of listening to the rabbanan.
Ah, that's fascinating.
That's
okay.
Wow.
You guys are saying a lot of brilliant things. But I meant to say something much simpler before you get to that. That's going to be my host, the Ram and the Ramban. But I would say the following. that, have you ever heard, this is a sugya beitza called Darash Yesh L'Matirin?
Yeah.
But basically, Darash Yesh L'Matirin tells me, and the Gemara applies it explicitly there to Mukta, which is only Drabbanon, that instead of relying on Hilchos Sfeikas, we're going to obligate you to do it as long as it's not a hefseid gomor. You know, if it's a very easy thing for you to do it, then you have to do it in the case of suffering. So suffering Drabbanon L'Kula might be a case where I don't know if I can eat this or not. So if I apply the principle of L'Chumra, I have to throw it out. But let's say I could apply the principle of wait until sunset, and it's no longer asur, then even on a Drabbanon, we're going to say wait until sunset. That's called the Darash Yesh L'Matirin. And basically that sugya gives us the principle that if you have a suffering on a mitzvah Drabbanon, if it's no great loss, then you know it's not a hefsed, it's not a tircha yisera, then we're going to require you to do the mitzvah. Once we require you to do the mitzvah, now the bracha comes along because the bracha is now essential to the mitzvah. So it's very interesting. You know, if somebody would ask you, when does the mitzvah Ner Chanukah begin, the actual implementation of the mitzvah, according to this, it begins with the bracha. The bracha itself is the first stage in the implementation of the mitzvah. Without that, if I apply the normal universal yardstick of brachos to Birkas HaMitzvah, the bracha itself is a kiyum unto itself. It's not part of the mitzvah.
We would also eliminate over Lasiyasa in this case. Let's say you lived first and you didn't make the bracha. Would you say make the bracha because that's part of the mitzvah?
I don't know. That's a good idea. But I think what he's saying is that this is like the declaration that my hadlaka that I'm about to embark upon. So in that case, what I would say is, you know what he should do? Well, he should make the bracha and then
light again.
You know, because his lighting without the bracha was not hadlaka shaloda. To transform that hadlaka into hadlaka shaloda, he needs to make that declaration of the bracha. Again, which bracha I'm not sure about. He doesn't spell that out. There's a famous Chuvas HaRashba, for example. The person doesn't remember whether he recited Kriyat Shema or not. And he has to recite Kriyat Shema because of Sofik L'Chumra. Should he recite the brachas? And the Rashba says yes, because the brachas themselves are part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. It's not a separate key of bracha, but it's essential to Kriyat Shema.
We pass it that way?
I know the Rambam paskens like that way. I can't tell you in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know.
Shabbos morning, let's say Krishma before you go to Shul because you're going to be too late in Shul. You just say Krishma. You don't say the brachas.
Right. There's another mitzvah called Kriyat Shema in Birchoseh. So there really are two mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah which is governed by the laws of Kriyat Shema. That's B'Shalvacha, which is the first 3 hours with the Malach. Then there's another mitzvah called Kriyat Shema in Birchoseh, which is a package deal. That's more shaykh to the mitzvah of tefillah, and therefore maybe the whole day is enough for that. You know? Well, we're not learning Kriyat Shema, so I'm potter from that. So let's just think about this one more time. He's saying essentially the hodah mentioned in the braisa is not the way Rashi says it in this approach, that it's al anisim in tefillah. The Rambam would hold that al anisim in tefillah is not part of the essential day and the takan of Chanukah, belongs to the tefillah, and it's another example of a general universal applying a universal principle in tefillah. But rather, the mitzvah of hadlokas ner Chanukah is essential to hodah, and hodah in the braisa is referring to hadlokas ner Chanukah. Now, this Mari over here, what's it called? The Nimuke Mari, he's saying that not only the Hadlaka is Hodah, but the Brach itself is Hodah. You see, this is what I wanted to point out, is that in the normal understanding, before we saw this Nimuke Mari, that there's a mitzvah of Hadlaka Sner Chanukah, it's not Hodah. I don't need to upgrade it to the level of Hodah. I don't need the bracha. The bracha doesn't play. If we leave Hadlokas Neiros the way we always understood Hadlokas Neiros before this chiddush, namely Hadlokas Neiros is a mitzvah derabbanan to be madlik Neiros. Forget about Hodah. If you omit the element of Hodah, then it would be absolutely crazy to say that the bracha is essential to the Hadlokas. Then it would be a classical case of Birkas HaMitzvah, and the bracha remains independent of the mitzvah. But now that we're we're upgrading the machayev of hadlaka. It's not a mitzvah like any other mitzvah, but rather hadlaka is a means to fulfill the mitzvah of hodah. Now you could ask the question, well, what converts and transforms the hadlaka into hodah? You might want to argue that it's the bracha. Again, is there any remnant, is there any indication of that in the Rambam? I would say absolutely no. It's just this Nebuki Ma'ari. So we're going back to Grodno, you know, 170 years ago. Grodno was one of the main Torah centers in Lithuania. I don't know if you heard of Rav Shimon Shkop. He came from Grodno, you know. Now, I would add another point here, which I think, if I'm not mistaken, he's going to get to, so I'm not trying to plagiarize. And that is Kavana. You see, in a Chiyuv Bracha, I don't know if Kavana is critical or not. You know, that might depend upon the universal issue whether this is Srikas Kavana or ain't Srikas Kavana. But if the purpose of the Bracha is to set up the Hadlok as Hadlok of Hodah, then you can't have Hodah without Kavana. Meaning, if he's totally unaware, you know, you give him a text in Hebrew or you transliterate it with English letters and he doesn't understand the word, then I don't see how he could fulfill Hodah through such a bracha. So the Kavana that this, what I'm about to embark upon, I'm declaring as an act of thanksgiving to Hashem, that declaration has to come from his heart. It can't come from just reading, you know, some sort of text.
Wait, question. Is this like his own Kiddush, or the only way to understand it according to the Rambam, or the
Bechor? No, again, if you ask me, you know, we have to separate between the Rambam and this fellow whose name we don't have right now, who came from Grodno 170 years ago. If you're talking about the Rambam doesn't at this point mention a word about a bracha. The Rambam is talking about Adlokas Neros. So if the Rambam is identifying Adlokas Neros as Hodah, it could be, as you said before, Yitzchok, that the act of Adlok is itself Hodah. I don't need the bracha. The bracha is a classical Birchas HaMitzvah. It's only the Ma'ari, you know, the Nemuke Ma'ari, who comes up with this, what I call, sensational breakthrough, that there's an essential that the bracha is playing an essential role in hodah, meaning that adloka cannot automatically be a mechanical adloka and be upgraded to the status of a kiyum hodah without some sort of an agent, and the agent here is going to be what, the bracha. That's the chiddush of the Ma'ari, is, you know, the Nemuke Ma'ari.
Is there any other way to understand why we still make the bracha if you light it after the?
I don't know. You're right. You know, the raya from the Magen Avraham's question on the Beis Yosef is an excellent question. How can the Shulchan Aruch say in this case of Safek that I'm going to recite the bracha that violates the universal principle of Safek Brachos Lahakia? It would only make sense if the bracha is an essential part of the mitzvah. But, you know, the other way of learning the Shulchan Aruch is to say that maybe back in the day they had to light candles by Yachtikla Regel Mereshuk. Today the mitzvah takes on a broader scope in terms of Zman Adlok, and you could light the whole night. So if that be the case, you make a bracha on that. Or alternatively, maybe the Shulchan Aruch is only telling you to light the Nair. He's not telling you anything about,
really
the bracha.
Telling you about the bracha.
He's not saying anything about the bracha. So, I mean, there are many ways of going over here, but the smoothest way of going, in a sense, the most straightforward way of going, is to assume, A, that the Shulchan Aruch is telling you that you can continue to light with a bracha during the entire night. Otherwise, he should have, you know, straightened out the record here. Make sure you leave out the bracha. And number two, that he's not talking about some new mitzvah of lighting it during the course of the night. He's going into this very essential suffix that the Gemara vacillates back and forth. When is the latest time for Ner Chanukah? And if it's a mitzvah shem alayla, then ksheira kol alayla, the entire night is okay for Ner Chanukah. We're not sure about that, because the Braisa says at shetichla regel v'neshuk. The Gemara is one lashon madlik v'olich. It's the only time he can light is up to, but not beyond that shetichla regel v'neshuk. So we have this vacillation, and then we should have left out the bracha, and yet he seems to imply that we do make the bracha. So it's very smooth. You know, again, you know, I wouldn't say that this is necessarily the only way of interpreting it. Oh, so now, now he's going to talk. Okay, so fine. It wasn't my original insight here. I have to admit. In the next paragraph, Yesh Bazeh Od, he wants to know about what's called Eino Maven Haloshim. You see that at the end of the third line. You see those words Eino Maven? And then he goes on to the word Haloshon. So he has here a Magen Avraham in a different context. You know, Magen Avraham is talking about Kriyat Shema and other mitzvahs like Kiddush, or Brachos, Birchas HaMitzvah, Hallel. And the Magen Avraham establishes that you don't have to understand what you're reading. And on the list is Birchas HaMitzvah. You see that? So again, Rabosai, if I give a person a transliteration of Birchas HaMitzvah on any mitzvah, and he doesn't understand the word of what he's saying, the Magen Avraham says he fulfills his mitzvah. This reminds me, you know, my father was a rabbi in a shul where at that time in Jewish history 90% of the people couldn't read an aleph and a beis. Now, they came to the Orthodox synagogue out of tradition or because they loved my father. That was it. The big synagogue was the conservative synagogue about 9 blocks away. It was a major, you know, conservative synagogue. And very often, the bar mitzvah boy went to what we call Hebrew school, and he learned Hebrew. The father of the bar mitzvah boy didn't know Hebrew at all. He was Jewish by birth, but he didn't know Hebrew. So they used to give him an aliyah on the bar mitzvah of his son, the Shabbos bar mitzvah, but he would read it in transliteration. Literally break his teeth. I mean, you and I probably wouldn't even understand the bracha. But we know what the bracha is, so we can figure it out. But he's reading it. And this is what went on also here in Israel when the Russians, you know, the Russian Jews started coming out of Russia when the Soviet Union fell. So you give it to him in transliteration, he doesn't understand the word of what he's reading. So the Magen Avraham comes to our salvation and he says, as far as Birchas HaMitzvah is concerned, even if you don't understand the Lashon, you Yotze. However, says the Magen Avraham, B'tfila u'b'Birchas HaMazon, the two exceptions are going to be Tfila, where Kavana is essential to Tfila, and called tefillah below kavanah, lav tefillah. And Birkas HaMazon, if you recite a blessing to thank Hashem for the food, and the fact that you satiated from the food, and you don't understand the word of what you're saying, you have no clue, that's not a mitzvah. Now the source for this Magen Avraham is a Tosus in Sota. And Tosus in Sota says that, it says, V'achalta v'savata u'beirachtas Hashem Elokecha. And you shall bless God, you shall thank God. And that's Birkas HaMazon. So the whole essence of the bracha is to praise and thank God for the food. And therefore, says the Magen Avraham, if he doesn't understand what he's saying, then he misses the whole point. He misses the boat, because the whole boat is about Shevach Vodah. Now, we'll skip a little bit, fast forward. He quotes the Maharal Prague here on the next page, who says that in the case of Kriya Sahalo, for example, there is a mitzvah of Kriya, simply enunciating the words, and that is a mitzvah. But sometimes the mitzvah of Halil is not just reciting a specific text that was formulated and constructed, you know, by putting together pieces of Tehillim, but rather it's called a Halal B'Torah Shira V'Hodah. Like, for example, Rabbosai, some say that the Halal that we recite on Leil HaSeder, do you remember that? Where we recite two chapters of Halal at the beginning of the Seder, and that's part of Magid, and then we add another two chapters of Halal at the end of the Seder, that's called Halal. And that is called Shira. Now there's a fundamental difference between Kriyas Halel, which is a mitzvah that applies on 18 days during the year, or 21 days, and so forth and so on, and Shira on Leil HaPesach. Shira on Leil HaPesach is a song of praise to Hashem. And why do we sing that praise? Because Chayav on the Liros is Atzmo. You have to imagine that as if you yourself went out of Mitzrayim. So you burst forward in a spontaneous song of praise. And the Maharal Prague says that you could be Yotzei Kriyas HaHalel during the entire year, even if he doesn't understand what he's reading, because he does do the act of reading. But when Hallel is simply an act of Shira, it has to come from the lev. He has to indicate how his sense of gratitude for God doing, God, you did all these miracles for me. So he wants to suggest, Ulafiz et Nira, this is the punchline of this whole paragraph, which is four lines before the end of the paragraph. He says, it appears to me that if you're making a bracha on Hadlakas Ner Chanuk in order to generate that kium of Hodah, meaning you want to upgrade your Hadlakas Ner to a Hadlakas Ner Sheyesh Bo Hodah to thank Hashem for the great miracle, and it's not a classical Birchas HaMitzvah, so even though we saw the Magen Avraham that with regard to Birchas HaMitzvah you don't have to have any kavana, you could read it in another language, in a language that's totally foreign to you, like Lashon Kodesh, but you don't know a word of Hebrew, so you don't understand what you're saying. That's only Birchas HaMitzvah. But here the bracha is a Birchas Hodah. It's exactly like the Maral Miprag in the case of Hallel Shel Shira V'Hodah, that if the whole essence of the mitzvah is to thank Hashem, is Kol Sheinu Meivin Mashuom, if he doesn't understand the word that's coming out of his mouth, Lo Chashiv Hodah. That's not Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has to come from inside.
And you'd say that by every Birchas HaShavach then.
Absolutely. If the bracha is Shevach Hodah, then it requires kavan. And that's why if you go back to the Magen Avraham that we saw on the previous page, notice that he's very careful about his list over here. And he says, number one, Kiddush. Number two, Birchas HaPeros. Number three, Birchas HaMitzvot. So number four, Hallel. So let's go through each one of them. In all these cases, he can read it in a language that's totally foreign to him, and he's Yotze. So let's take the case of Hallel. Hallel, as we saw in the Maral Miprag, is a mitzvah of Kriya, just reciting. Birchas HaMitzvah is also just reciting the bracha before the mitzvah. We're not talking about Shevach Hodoya.
How could Hallel
well, Maral differentiates between two types of Hallel?
But the Hallel that we say on Hallel, like on Rosh Chodesh, and right. how could be defined as Kriya?
Because the Chachamim say these are the prokem that you have to read. It's literally a recitation. It's almost like, for example, when you bring Bikurim, so the Torah says, this is the section which is called Arami Yovel, you have to recite that. It's a recitation. You see, we have to understand that recitation is also like an action. You know, just like lulav means I have to pick up the lulav, right? That's an action. Or matzah means I have to eat the matzah. Let's assume, according to one man, the other, mitzvahs einam tzrichas kavan. So the man blows a shofar in Rosh Hashanah because he likes the sound of the shofar. And I don't know how he got a tekiah shofar to a tekiah, don't ask me that. A man eats matzah and for some reason he likes matzah, or somebody's putting a gun to his head and saying, if you don't eat the matzah, you know, you're in trouble. So in all these cases, if you hold mitzvah saying in tzrichas kavana, you yotze. Why? Because it's a mechanical act. Now where we put kriya, is kriya considered a mechanical external act, or is it just an expression of some idea that I'm trying to formulate in words? So here's where the Maral Miprag sets up two categories of hallel. There's a hallel which is purely a spontaneous expression of my feelings, of my shira, my song to praise God, and there the words are just an objective way of formulating those feelings. So I objectify my subjective feelings by reciting Hallel. But then there's another category of Hallel, which the Chachamim said, it's probably not a mitzvah d'oraisa, but the Rabbanan established a mitzvah, which is Kriya. It's an act of reading. Like, let's say, for example, Kriyas HaTorah. Would you say that if the people, let's say the reader, or even if the tzibur, they don't understand the Kriya? Right? There are a lot of parts of the Torah which we don't understand. Would they fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya? So you and I would say, well Kriya is there to express and transmit a message. If you don't understand the message, that's not Kriya. But the answer is no. The halacha sees Kriya as a mechanical maisa, no different than shaking a lulav or eating matzah. And you could be yotze with Kriya alone, and he doesn't understand the word that he's reading. And that's going to be true in those four cases, but not in the case of Shira. Because there the key was Hodah. So he's very meticulous. Like when he speaks about brachos, he gives the example of Birchas HaPeros and Birchas HaMitzvos. Which third category of bracha does he omit?
Hodah.
Because Birchas Hashem Hodah requires that you understand what you're saying. Now, I'm baffled about the following question. You know, if we're talking about understanding or not understanding. what happens if you tell him what he's saying and he doesn't understand the words? Is it enough that he has it in mind?
I'm praising God.
I'm praising God. The words? I don't understand the words at all. They're Chinese to me, if you know what I mean. So my sense is that he would be Yotze in that case, even if it's a Birch Hashem for Toy. Meaning he doesn't have to understand the words, but he has to know that he's thanking Hashem for whatever he's thanking Hashem for. That would be okay. And then we'll you know, combine and integrate his understanding and his feeling and his expression of thanksgiving together with the external kriya. But here that Birchas Hadlokas Ner Chanukah is essential to creating a Hodah. Here he says you have to understand what you're saying.
The Mogen Avraham doesn't differentiate between different types of challah.
No. And that's why it's logical to assume that if he left out Birchas Hodah deliberately, because he has Birchas HaMitzvah and Birchas HaPeros, right, the only two that he has, and he deliberately omits Birchas Shavuot Hodah, then how could he yotze with Hallel? And the only logical way I think of going with that is that there's a mitzvah of Kriya in Hallel. The Kriya itself becomes a mechanical act.
But why, when he said Avol, Tfilo Birchas HaMazon, didn't he put in Birchas HaShavah?
Because Birchas HaMazon is your archetype, is your... what word am I looking for?
He says Birchas HaMitzvah.
Your personification.
Because so Kiddush, Birchas HaPeres, Birchas HaMitzvahs in Hallel.
Right.
So you'd think he'd say Avol, Birchas HaSheva,
right,
in Tfilah, Birchas HaMazon.
Right. I think the Birchas HaMazon is the Birchas HaSheva. Any case of Birchas HaSheva comes as a subcategory of Birchas HaMazon. Now the next paragraph, which starts with the word Vehine, he finds a brisa, which is called Masechtas Sofrim, and this is going to be very foreign to us. The brisa is the real original source for what we call Haneros Halol. Now, when do we recite Haneros Halol?
After
we finish the whole deal. So we made all the brachas, and then we lit the candles, and then we have a little dance, and we sing Haneros Halol. But the brisa wedges Haneros Halalu between the first bracha and the second bracha. So he starts by quoting the Shulchan Aruch, who says that Acher Shehidlik, after he lights, Omer Haneros Halalu on Madlikin, etc., etc. However, the Pri Chadosh, who's about a century after the Shulchan Aruch, he writes, Yesh Omrim, Sheyomar Kein, when should he recite Ala Nisim, Kodem Bircha Shasa Nisim? In other words, he should sandwich it between the first lighting and the second lighting. He'll make the bracha of Lahadlik on the first lighting, then he'll recite Shasa Nisim, and then he'll make the bracha on... I'm sorry. Let me go over it one more time. Sorry. So according to the Pri Chadosh, in the name of the Yesh Omrim, he says that first he should recite Lahadlik, then he should light his Ner Chanukah, then he should recite Shasa Nisim. Haneros Halalu. I'll get it right eventually. Haneros Halalu. And after he recites Haneros Halalu, then he recites Shasa Nisim. And the Pri Chadosh, after he quotes this opinion, he says, Ein Zeh Mechubar, I don't understand it. Lahafsik Bibrachos, you're adding a whole chapter in the middle, wedging it in the middle. We have a look of Hefsik. We don't separate one bracha from another with a Hefsik. But rather he says, Achar Kol HaBrachos, after he finishes all the brachos, then Yomar Osa, then he can say Haneros Halol, V'chein Anu Noagim. But what's the source for the Yesh Omrim? It's a Brisa Masechtas Sofrim, and it says there, according to the gears that we have, Mevark Lahadlik Ner, the Omer Haneros Halolu, and then he goes on and he recites the brachos of Shechianu and Shasa Nisan. So it's explicit in this brisa that he recites Haneros Halolu in the middle of the brachos. You may want to underline these words, right? Hare di Omer Haneros Halolu b'emtza brachos. And now we have the screaming and the yelling of the Pri Chadosh in our back of the ears. How can you be mafsik in the middle of brachos? So he says the following. If we assume that in Birchas Ner Chanukah, we're not dealing with a classical Birchas HaMitzvah, but rather we're dealing with an essential part of Hadlaka, which means that we have to achieve Hodol Anes, then if the purpose of the Hadlok is to achieve Hadlok Al Anes, Hodol Anes, then the recitation of Haneris Halolu Anu Madlikim is Shayach, it's relevant to this Kiyum, to this Takana that we have to fulfill Hodol Anes, and therefore it should be included in the Brachos itself. And he writes the following. He says, "Kalinu b'hadi habracha de lahadlik ner shel Chanukah." We should integrate the Haneris Halol together with the bracha of lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. Why? De travayu chada milsehi. It's all one and the same. Milse do dalanes. It's not a hefsek in the brachos. By the way, Abby, this would, I think, prove what you said before, that he's referring to the bracha on lahadlik, because you see that he says that you're going to recite Haneris Halonu on Madlikim after lahadlik, and it's not going to be a hefsek.
Right.
It's probably even before he lights the candle. Yeah, I think what he's saying is that he's going to recite lahadlik, then he's going to recite Haneris Halonu, then he's going to recite Shosad Nisim, and then he's going to light. And that's not considered a hefsek, because what is the mitzvah of lighting candles? It's a mitzvah of Hodol Anes. So Haneris Halolo, one of Adlikim.
Could you say that the first bracha is Birchas Mitzvah, and then Haneris Halolo and Shasa Nisim and lighting is the mitzvah of...
Makes it into a Hodol. Yeah, that's what I thought. But the language, I'm with you, Yitzchak, conceptually, but I think he's presenting a different thesis. He wants to sue... Because again, he's trying to justify, if you remember the Beis Yosef in Shulchan Aruch, who says that if you didn't light before, I should tickle regular shuk holy for umadli kol alayla, with a bracha, if that's what he means, he's referring to lahadla. So it wouldn't be enough to justify that the Shasa Nisim is upgraded to the status of Hodah. Okay. Now, if this isn't sophisticated enough, it really gets sophisticated here, starting with the paragraph Vehine Rambam. And he reads the Rambam, and there's something very strange in the Rambam. Because after the Rambam tells us about Adlokas Neros, which we again established in this approach, the Rambam means Hodah, then the Rambam comes back with the following sentence: "V'hadlokas haneros bohem, and lighting candles during these 8 days, mitzvah midivrei sofrim." Midivrei sofrim is another word for a mitzvah derabbanan, but a high powered mitzvah derabbanan. Kikriyas hamegilah. Like, what's going on over here, Rambam? You just told me that the essence of the day is halel, simcha, hadlokas neros, Petaris Hodah, the way we said it. And now you're telling me, Vadlokas Haneris Bahem, Mitzvah Midirei Sofrim. It's very, you know, the Rambam doesn't repeat himself. Every word of the Rambam has to be justified. And not only that, he compares it to Kriyas HaMegillah. Like, what's that all about? He says the following, Ulam Nira, that if you drop down about 8-9 lines, you'll see a line that begins with the word Nira. He says, the Sfir Leila Rambam, de Mulvad Chovas Hadlokas Neros Midino Dalanes, Od Ispahu Chiu Bifne Atzmo Mishum Pirsume Nisa. Now, what's going on over here? Look at this. This really is sophisticated. He's saying that before we learned this Rambam about Hodah, that the Rambam says that you fulfill Hodah with Hadlokah, we thought the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah was a mitzvah of Pirsum Anes. And that's the way we've understood it for centuries. You know, how do you define the essence of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah? It's Pirsum Anes. The Rambam is not coming to undermine Pirsum Anes. The Rambam is not coming to deny that the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is Pirsum Anes. The Rambam wants to upgrade Ner Chanukah to Hodah, but not at the expense of Pirsum Anes. This is what we call in Brisker Lomdus Tzvei Dinim. You know, there's two dimensions to the mitzvah of Chanukah. He's saying one dimension is Ner Chanukah is Hodah Anes, and the other dimension is Pirsume Nisa. Again, these two concepts sound very, very close to each other, and they definitely are related to each other, but they're not identical. You know, these are not identical twins. There's hodah to thank Hashem, and then it's to publicize the miracle. We want everyone to recognize the miracle. Now we can understand why the Rambam goes ahead and he adds v'adlokas neiros be'mitzvah. The Rambam wants to tell you that in addition to this hodah, right, this kiyum of hodah, there's a separate mitzvah of adlokas neiros as a mitzvah unto itself, which Rabbanan established. And the goal of that mitzvah is pirsum hanes. So let me ask you a question. If he would omit the bracha when he lit the Ner Chanukah, would lighting the Ner Chanukah be meaningless? If we go back to the Ma'ari, the Namuke Ma'ari, it wouldn't be meaningless. Why? Because he still has the mitzvah of pirsum hanes. Now, if the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah would exhaust itself in hodah, then you can say that the bracha is essential to set up the hodah. But now we're saying there's another dimension of the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. It's becoming very sophisticated now. There's also the classical mitzvah of pirsum hanes. So if I went in and I lit the candles, give me patch because I didn't make the bracha. But I lit the candles and it's a pirsum. It's a public. I publicize the miracle. So that would be a mitzvah. So therefore, the Rambam now adds two words. He says, Kikriyas HaMegillah.
Which we know is pirsum hanes.
Yeah, because that's a Gemara Befurish. The Gemara says on Daf Yud Ches that the mitzvah of Megillah has two parts to it. This is the Gemara. The Gemara says this is Kriya and it's pirsum hanes. You know, John and I are learning Megillah now, but we didn't get up to Daf Yud Ches. So this is a preview of coming attractions in Masechta Megillah. That when we get to Daf Yud Ches, we're going to see that there's a twofold mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. Number one, it's a mitzvah of Kriya. Number two, it's a mitzvah of Pirsum Hanes. You know, there might be an afkamina, for example, where you need 10 people. If it's only a mitzvah of Kriya, maybe I can do it myself, lock myself in a room, and I'll read the Megillah. That's fine. But if it's Pirsum, maybe I need I need to read it publicly. I don't know. I don't want to say that because then we're going to get in deep trouble here because he compares Ner Chanukah to... I never heard that you have to get 10 people together for Ner Chanukah. Okay, so we can't go too far with this. But the Rambam does have an analogy between Hadlokas Ner Chanukah and Kriyas HaMegillah. And the suggestion now is, this is what he's putting on the table, that analogy is based on the mitzvah of Pirsum Hanes. That in Chanukah, just like in Purim, there's a mitzvah of Hadlaka for the sake of Pirsum Hanes. In Purim, it's Kriya for the sake of Pirsum Hanes. So again, now we've said the following. Why is it that the Brisa of my Chanukah doesn't mention Hadlokas Ner Chanukah, which is the Iker Mitzvah? So he quotes the Ra'em, I think that's the Rav Elio Mizrahi, as I said earlier, who gives the following terutz. Dilagirsa didan, according to our text, kavum koy adloka, vasom koy ahalil vodo. So let's see if we can read this into the Brice of Ner Chanukah on Daf Chaf Aleph Amid Beis. It says kavum ve'asom. Remember I asked you about an hour ago, whenever it was, I asked you, is there another girsa in the Brisa? Because our Brisa says nothing about Ner Chanukah. So for this he's quoting the Ra'em, and the Ra'em is telling you, Rabbi Eliyahu Mizrahi, that you have to split this Brisa into two parts, this Kav'um, and then this Asa'um. Both words appear continuously in the Brisa. He's saying that the word Kavu'um is a reference to Ner Chanukah. How the Ra'im knows this, I don't know. Maybe he means that since this is a continuation, the Brisa has just presented the great miracle that took place in the menorah, and they were able to light the menorah for 8 days. So Kavu'um, in other words, they took the 8 nights of lighting in the menorah, and they established it for all generations as the mitzvah adlokas ner. And then what's vasum? Vasa'um, he says, is halav odah, which, again, according to the Rambam, the word odah is referring to hadlokas haneros. But now we go back to kavum. So we have two different dimensions or obligations in their Chanukah. We have number one, Kav'um, and number two, Asa'um. The Kav'um refers to Pirsumei Nisa, that we just experienced such a nes, so we have to now publicize that nes. And the Asa'um is the nature of the day as a day of Hodah, and here we're going to fulfill the nature of the day as a day of Hodah by lighting their Chanukah. So now it comes out the following, that this brisa of Kav'um v'asum has two different mitzvahs of Ner Chanukah. If you want to underline it, he says, Yeshlomida brisa tarti ka'omar. If you see a sentence about 10 lines up from the bottom, he says, Chara, the first thing is, Ikachiv adlokal afarsim as a nes. Right? That's the word Kav'um. Kav'um means to take that miracle and memorialize it. No. Immortalize it. Maybe that's the word I wanted to use. To immortalize it. Make it immortal. Meaning every year we're going to redo that miracle. We're going to duplicate that miracle. That's called Pirsum HaNes. Then, after Kav'um, the Brisa says Asa'um. And that means we're defining the day as a day of Hodah. And how does the Rambam, according to Rambam, how do we fulfill Hodah? Through Advokas Neir. So then it comes out the Brisa is formulating two different mitzvahs of Adlokas Neiros. One to commemorate the miracle, that's the beginning of this brisa, which is Kav'um. They were koveya that miracle for all posterity. And number two, Asa'um, which refers to the day, and the day itself was established as the day of Hodah. And how do you fulfill that Hodah? The answer is Hadlokas Neiros, because you have no other option. You can't tell me it's Hodah B'Toras Halel because the Brice already mentions Halel as a separate category, so you can't repeat it twice. And you can't tell me that the word Hodah refers to Halel Nisim because the Rambam holds that Halel Nisim is Halok and Tefillah, and it doesn't reflect on the day itself. So by process of elimination, the only candidate now for Hodah would be Hadlokas Neiros. So we now have two different dinim, or two different kiyumim and purposes of Adlokas Neiros on Chanukah. One is B'Toras Kavum, and that's Pirsum HaNes, and the other is Asa'um as a kiyum of Hodah. He says, Nafkamina ben Hani Trei Dini. I'll give you a difference between these two dinim. Is the bracha an essential part of the mitzvah? Well, the answer is, if it's Hodah, then you need the bracha, as we said, in the name of the Mukeh, Marie, right? That you need the bracha in order to upgrade and establish this adlaka as adlaka shalodah. That's the Marie. But if you ask me about Pirsum HaNes, there the mitzvah is just the Mais Adlaka, and the Mais Adlaka doesn't require a bracha. I mean, it requires a bracha like any other mitzvah, but it's not essential. It's not essential to the mitzvah itself. Now we can turn to page Pei. So therefore he concludes here on the top of page Pei that if he omitted the brachas on Adlokas Ner Chanukah, then although he would fulfill the Kav'um, meaning the act of lighting candles as a form of Pirsum HaNes, he would forfeit the mitzvah of Hodah, because the mitzvah of Hodah requires that he make the brach, and the brach is essential to the Hodah. Now if you drop down about 10 lines, it says, U'kmochei nafkemina. What happens if he recites the bracha on the adlaka, but he doesn't understand the language? He's reading it from a transliteration. He has no clue what the words mean. So he says the following. B'toras Hodah, that bracha is meaningless because he's not expressing his gratitude to God. But mitzad birchas ha-mitzvah, as we said before, the Magen Avraham, a classical birchas ha-mitzvah, even if he doesn't understand what he's saying, he still fulfills that mitzvah. So basically, this brisa is divided into two parts. The first part of the brisa, as he points out in the next paragraph, Vehine, is Kav'um. And Kav'um is a reference to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. And then we get to Asa'um, and there it says Hodah, and there the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah is not a separate mitzvah of Pirsum, but rather it's part of the mitzvah of Hodah. And here at this point, to the bottom of Vehine, he quotes a sugya in Rosh Hashanah. Now, I have a Gemara Rosh Hashanah here, so if you'll allow me, I'll read, you have it inside in your text. I'm going to read it from the original, from the Gemara itself. This is Rosh Hashanah Daf Yud Ches Amid Beis. And this is a sugya called Megillas Tainis. So again, let's just go over this. It's 100 years before the Churban Bayis Sheni. Okay, and there's a Tana by the name of Hananya. And this Tana compiles an entire list of days in which we commemorate salvations and miracles that took place in Jewish history. Now again, it's interesting because even though, you know, Bayis Sheni is not typically described as the happiest time in Jewish history, but there were many salvations that took place during Bayis Sheni. And right now, the Bayis is still standing. We're 100 years before Churban. So he writes something called Megillas Tainis. Now, why is it called Megillas Tainis? Tainis means fasting. You're not allowed to fast on these days. These are days that are invested with a certain degree of simcha. And fasting on these days is antithetical to simcha. Also, these are days where we're not allowed to have hesped v'tainis. We're not allowed to fast on these days. We're not allowed to eulogize the dead on these days. All because these days are mini or quasi yom tovim by virtue of Megillas Tainis. So again, we're talking about days of salvation during the period of Bayis Sheni. Now, why is it called Megillas Tainis? The word Megillah means something that should be hidden. You lock it up. Why do you lock this up? Because we really don't want to create Torah Shebaal Peh in a written form. Do you remember that? Dvarim Shebaal Peh Yetar Rishoy Lomer B'Ksav. Again, Rebbe Eisa, so we have the, you know, at this point we have the Mishnayos, but we don't have the Gemara yet. And at this point, one of the Tanoim is committing to writing halachas that apply to certain days during the calendar year. So he calls it a Megillah. Megillah is kind of a thing that's clandestine. You know, you keep it, how we say, undercover? Is that a good word? Undercover. Okay. So now, for a period of 100 years in Jewish history, there were a whole bunch of days of simcha to commemorate salvations, and there was no tainis, there was no fasting on those days, there was no eulogies, what's called hesped, there were no fasts on those days. And then what happens? The Bayis is Nechrav, Churban HaBayis. And here's the question. Two opinions in the Gemara. One opinion says, Batla Megillas Tainis. That although we had a period of simcha, so to speak, in Jewish history, we were up on high. You know, Hananya was writing all these days of celebration because the Mikdash stood. With the destruction of the Mikdash, the entire enterprise of Megillas Tainis is Batla. Which means we're allowed to fast, and we're allowed to eulogize on any day of the year except for those days that were established as Yomim Tov. The other day in the Gemara says Megillas Tainis lo batla, and we're still committed to those days. So the Gemara records a dialogue between Rav Kahana and Rav Yosef, in which, after quoting the Braisa, which you see on the bottom right on page Pei of Rabbi Hanina, that Batla Megillas Tainis, that with the Churban all those days are completely history, Masiv Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana is going to ask a kash. Now this kash of Rav Kahana is about Hanukkah. He's going to prove that Hanukkah still applies even in our day. Now that to you may sound like mabukach. I don't need Rav Kahana for that. But the answer is that that Hanukkah is codified in Megillas Tainis as one of those great, again here it's 8 days, but a period of time which was salvation and miracle, and we have to commemorate these days as days of simcha with the Nisar Hesped v'Tainis. And all this is incorporated in Megillas Tainis. Now, if you're going to hold, like this Rabbi Hanina, that Batla Megillas Tainis, then we're allowed to fast on Chanukah. We're allowed to eulogize on Chanukah. And we don't say hallel on Chanukah. I mean, all the dinim of Chanukah can just fall by the wayside if you hold butler Megillus Tainus. That's the kasha of Rav Kahana. Right? You have it, Masiv Rav Kahana. Maisav, it goes through Tainus b'Chanukah b'Lud. The people in the city of Lud, the townspeople, because there was a definite need, they decided that we're going to have to fast on Chanukah. So there were two Tanoim around, and they made a big protest. Who were these two Tanoim? It was Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Rabbi Eliezer went down to the Merchatz, to the Beis HaMerchatz, which you're not allowed to do on a Tainus. We don't wash our body on a Tainus. Rabbi Yeshua went in and took a haircut. And this was all done publicly in order to tell the people that Megillus Tainus... Oh, it's time for me. All right, Rabbi Olson, we'll have to stop here. Belinetta will try to finish this tomorrow. The Sugya Megillus Tainus.